Massachusetts' opioid crisis continued to be a major story of 2015. It was early in the year when the state released staggering statistics showing that close to 4 people die in Massachusetts every day from opioid overdoses. Just last week, Governor Baker became emotional when speaking during the screening of a new HBO movie about the nation's heroin problem. That movie's set on Cape Cod.
I get the fact that this is a very tough movie, okay? I get that. But this is a really tough issue.
WBUR's Martha Biebinger and I have covered this story on several fronts this year, and Martha joins me in the studio right now to talk about this morning, Martha.
Deb, that cut from the governor was kind of stunning.
It's a couple of times that I've heard him become emotional about this because it just seems like such an intractable problem for the state. We know, Martha, that opioids have been an issue for years. And right after the governor took office, he formed his opioid task force, which started meeting early in the spring. I attended that first meeting back in March, and here's Annie Parkinson. She's a recovery counselor who urged the task force to act quickly.
In the last 6 years, have buried 24 to 27, 28 people. Talk is cheap. A year ago, I sat at an opiate roundtable at City Hall with the head of BSAS. And you know what happened? Nothing. One overdose is too many. And I know it's complicated, and I know it's hard, but we have to stop reinventing the wheel.
But Martha, since that first opioid task force meeting, there has been some progress, but it's not as if things have moved all that quickly.
Right. The task force reported 60 recommendations. They've started a lot of things, you know, an anti-stigma campaign. They added beds in some areas of the state. Greenfield, for example, has 64 new treatment beds where there were real shortages, but there continues to be a strong demand for more treatment options. Governor Baker proposed a bill that is still pending before the legislature with some very controversial items. Two in particular would require that doctors limit that first opioid prescription to 72 hours. Many people think that that's not long enough, and doctors don't like to have their hands tied. And the second controversial piece would allow hospitals to hold somebody who comes in after an overdose for 72 hours. And hospital emergency rooms, many of them say, we don't have the capacity to do that.
But let's talk about what we've learned about the folks who are struggling with this problem. You have actually dug into some numbers about overdoses. What do those numbers suggest, Martha?
Well, we still need a lot more data on this, Deb. But in Boston, for example, we know that 69% of repeat overdose patients are male. The average age is 38. Men are an even greater share of those who die as a result of an overdose at 78%. And the peak time for overdose calls to 911 is between 2 and 4. So we're getting a lot of information that might tell us something more about this epidemic, but it's really just in the early stages. Then, Deb, we looked statewide at what actually kills people in the event of an overdose. And it's not just heroin. It's very often heroin. Mostly it's heroin in combination with another prescription drug or alcohol or cocaine. So here's Anthony, who explains why he mixes heroin and some prescription medicines to get high.
The potency now is so inconsistent, you don't know. So you'll eat a bunch of Klonopins, then do a shot of heroin, and then you're dead.
Have you ever done that combo?
Yes, I've OD'd 12 times.
So you can imagine why that presents challenges for a lot of doctors. You know, Klonopin is a drug that is prescribed to many people with addiction because they have anxiety. So how do doctors manage these competing needs from patients?
You know, another issue here is the issue of Narcan, which is the overdose reversal drug. And the state has stepped up the use of that. Most first responders now are all equipped with Narcan. School nurses, most of them have Narcan in Massachusetts. And we went out with some first responders this year, Martha, to talk about the use of Narcan. I rode along with a Boston EMS ambulance this year and witnessed an actual Narcan revival. And here is Boston EMS Deputy Superintendent Ed Hassan, who told me that while Narcan deals with the immediate problem, it does not address the longer-term issues, especially treatment.
Our job really is, as EMTs and paramedics, we're dealing with the immediate crisis. We got them breathing again. I guess it's one small battle in a very big war.
And for this story, Martha, I also spoke with patients who said that they might be revived by Narcan several times. Some of them said they would use drugs almost immediately after they were released from the ER because they were just let go. So it really highlights this need for treatment.
It does. And for treatment, Deb, that thinks about this as a chronic long-term disease, right? For so many years, we have looked at this as a criminal offense, but not these folks as patients who have relapses. And that shift is really starting to happen more and more in the medical community. Dr. Sarah Wakeman runs a substance use disorders initiative at Mass General.
We blame patients for their disease. We also kick people out of treatment for having symptoms of their disease with addiction, which would be honestly malpractice if we did that with other conditions.
So Dr. Wakeman is among those who sees people for quite regular, maybe weekly checkups, where she does cheek swabs or urine tests to see if there's the presence of drugs, not so that she can blame them, but so that she can adjust treatment based on what's happening.
And you know, Martha, if we look ahead, I know you've done some work with medical professionals about when they think this epidemic might peak. What are we finding out there?
There is not a very good projection for that. There is one model that says the peak will be sometime in 2017 or 2018. But that's based on an epidemic that is an infectious disease. And this is a different kind of epidemic, right? Mm-hmm. So people are having a very difficult time with those prediction models.
Martha, what story stands out most for you from this past year?
You know, I think the deep, deep guilt and shame that we hear from many patients who feel like they're stuck. They're stuck in a disease. They're stuck in a lifestyle. They just need a lot of help, and they're going to need a lot of help for years to come. And you, Deb, what story stands out for you?
I think for me, probably the most powerful story was witnessing that Narcan revival and driving around with Boston EMS officials and watching what first responders are dealing with, what patients are dealing with, what their families are dealing with. There's just such a sense of helplessness. It's just this horrible, vicious cycle of using and trying not to use and getting revived by Narcan. That stays with you for a long time, and I'm sure it's a story that will continue to follow in the new year.
Look forward to doing that with you, Deb.
Martha, thanks for coming in, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Deb.